We're really happy to have the next speaker here. Super excited that he can join us at our conference today. Yochai Ben-Avi is policy manager at Mozilla, and before that, he was policy director at Axis. So two super interesting organizations, and we're very excited about his perspective on the dangers of data retention. Please give a warm welcome to Yochai.
Thank you, and thanks for having me. So this morning, Anna compared data retention to fighting zombies. Data retention is this concept, this practice of mass surveillance practice that just keeps coming back, no matter how many times it gets killed. The German Federal Constitutional Court struck it down. The Court of Justice of the EU last year had a sweeping ruling calling this a serious interference with privacy and the right to private life. And in the wake of that, we saw many countries actually repealing their laws, right? We saw Austria, we saw Romania, we saw Slovakia, we saw Belgium, all repealing data retention laws on the back of this ruling. And yet, data retention has a way of returning from the dead. In Germany, the government is proposing a new data retention law. France passed a draconian surveillance bill earlier this year. And the UK is thinking about data retention again after its law, DRIPA, was recently struck down by the courts. So what is it about data retention? What's so tempting? Why do governments persist in pursuing data retention? There's this belief that if telecommunications companies are not required to retain data, then some bits might be lost and not available for later law enforcement or intelligence access. While the proverbial dots, you know, can always be connected after the fact if you have all of the data, this sort of collect-it-all mentality actually hurts law enforcement and intelligence, right? They collect so much data that they have no ability to actually analyze or parse it. And that limits its actual value. In the recent surveillance reform efforts in the United States, we had two independent bodies, the Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board and the President's Review Group. They had security clearances, they could talk to officials, they could look at everything. And looking at a program that required telecommunication companies to turn over the metadata on all users on an ongoing daily basis, they couldn't point to a single terrorist attack that was actually thwarted by having all of this data. What this data really does is it turns all citizens into suspects. The expectation of total after-the-fact information awareness by any government of the intimate details of our conversations is at the core of negative reactions to overbroad surveillance regimes, and it harms trust online. It's unnecessary and it's inherently disproportionate posture for any democratic society. And data retention mandates are not, you know, some missing piece of a long-term surveillance ecosystem. They're a bridge too far. So how do we fight this? What arguments can we use? Let's consider five ways data retention is dangerous, and I hope that you can use this when people talk to you about data retention and when you want to talk to government lawmakers about data retention. So one, there's this issue of creep. Once we accept the principle that the government has a right to force records to be held onto, they can effectively go into the past. Where does that stop? What's the limit? Are we paving the way to a world where nothing can be deleted because the government might want to access it later? It's not hard to see how much a limitless program quickly becomes Orwellian. Indeed, how we go from a conversation that's usually about telephone records to one about internet records as well. And so we look at the German law, for example, is actually requiring the retention of IP addresses, not your search activity, right, but your IP address for your home, you know, where you live. And so that's ostensibly so they can track back content that you post online to your IP address, to your billing records, to who you are. Two is that data retained is data at risk. So as the nearly daily parade of data breaches makes clear, amassing the personal information of everyone exposes those data to breach, to theft, to abuse and misuse. And this is a threat to user security and privacy is just not acceptable. Third, data retention is harmful to trust online. So when users give their data to a company, like Mozilla, that creates a special relationship, right? That relationship, like all relationships, should be built on trust and consent. And so companies should store records of and about users for the least amount of time necessary for the purpose for which a user has actually given consent. So if you're storing records for longer, that harms that trust, right? And if you're saying, well, I know you consented to this and I told you this, but the government's requiring that I hold on to it for longer, that's destroying the concept of consent. Fourth, and I touched about this a little bit earlier, but it's not actually necessary, right? There are plenty of governments that survive without data retention. The most relevant information for law enforcement purposes is usually the most recent information, which is often still in the possession of companies for business purposes. And governments like to talk about data retention in isolation, that, you know, like, let's only focus on, like, we might lose these critical messages, these critical records of communications. But we have to look at data retention in context. There are many, many other tools that governments can use to track people in basically every country, and that don't require violating everyone's privacy and fundamental rights in the process. Finally, professional secrecy. Around the world, we've recognized that certain professions require secrecy. I think everyone in this room wants to live in a society where doctors, lawyers, and journalists can maintain secrets. Mandatory data retention, even when the government promises that really, like we promise, we won't touch it, we won't access those records, that makes that impossible. There's no way for the telecom to separate out whose records are subject to professional secrecy and who aren't. So there's certainly been progress in rolling back data retention. But we're seeing countries like Germany, who we look up to for leadership on privacy, to push ahead again with data retention, even though this has already been struck down in the past, and repeatedly so. And then we also see countries, most recently Peru, where the president copy and pasted sections of the EU data retention directive, even though it's been invalidated, and despite the fact that the Peruvian Congress earlier this year rejected data retention legislation in the face of campaigns from human rights groups. This is why it's important to fight, including the laws that are being proposed here in Germany, but also any efforts at a new EU-wide data retention directive. It's a difficult fight. The ministries of interior and similar ministries around the world are very powerful, but I hope you'll join me in suiting up for it. Thanks so much.